Begin reading in verse number 54, John chapter number 8, in verse number 54. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and there's a conversation that's been going on. And people, of course, are arguing with him and talking with him and trying to deny him. But Jesus answers, verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 56. It says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now they argued and they said, "You're just 50 years, you're not yet 50 years old, and you say you've seen Abraham and you know Abraham, and Jesus told them before Abraham was, I am." I like that. But we can go in the Bible and we can find that Abraham was looking forward to something, and he saw it afar off. And this morning I want us to think about, what do we see? What Abraham saw was in the future, and now what we see is in the past, Jesus dying on the cross, being buried, and rose again. But I want to ask you, what do we see today? This word saw is used in the Bible over 500 times. The first time was in Genesis 1:4. The Bible says God saw the light. Revelation 22:8, the last time John said, "I saw these things," and there's 539 times this word is used. Let's pray together as we ask the question, what do you see? Father, I pray that Thy will would be done. Help us, O Lord, to honor Thee today. Hide me, Lord, please, behind the cross. I pray that Christ would be exalted in this place. And I pray today that You would anoint me with the power of the Spirit of God, and I pray that it would be real. Lord, I pray that You would use Thy Word, Lord, to speak to hearts. Lord, if there be one here today that does not know Thee as Savior, I pray that this day they would trust Thee. And for those of us that are saved, I pray that we'd be encouraged to go on for Thee. And we're going to give You the glory now for all that's accomplished. For we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. What do you see? We can go throughout the Bible and we can see many times when people saw things. In Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 6, the Bible says that the woman saw the tree, and it caused men to fall, didn't it? And the fall made all of us sinners. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man. And when He saw this wickedness of man, we know that it brought judgment upon the earth, and every living thing was condemned to die." The Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter number 2 and verse number 2 that the mother of Moses saw him, and she hid him, and he became the great deliverer of Israel. What do you see today? Isaiah chapter number 6, I love Isaiah chapter number 6, and the Bible says in verse number 1 that Isaiah saw the Lord, and it caused him to literally repent, and it challenged him to see the need and to answer the call, and he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me," when he saw the Lord. In Matthew chapter number 2, the Bible says that the wise men saw the star, and it led them to the child, Jesus. And then they saw the child and it made them rejoice. The Bible goes on and says in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 16 that John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God descending on the Son of God. In Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 2, the Bible says that John saw the holy city, and that's the desire of every child of God. Amen. One day we're going to see heaven and we're going to be there and we're going to rejoice with Him. But until that time, He'll always be there for us. And we can see some things. Hundreds of places, hundreds of more places in the Bible. We could talk about what people saw. And we see this word Saul used in our text as Jesus is telling the Pharisees that their father Abraham rejoiced to see the day, and when he saw it, he was glad. And they begin to question him. They said, how do you know Abraham? How do you have this knowledge about him? Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Before the world was, Jesus was. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And I'm telling you today, we need to see some things. We need to look. You know, most people want to go around with blinders on. Most people don't want to see themselves. They don't want to see their life. They don't want to see their death. They don't want to see their end. They don't want to see their eternity. But today, if we'll look, there's some things we can see. What do you see? If we can see these things, it'll change your life. If you'll see these things today, three things I want to give you. If you'll see these three things, it can change your life. First of all, you can see yourself in the light of the Word. You can see yourself in the light of the Word. The truth of the matter is we're usually busy comparing ourselves to someone else. Comparing our church to another church. Comparing us as individuals, myself as an individual, to somebody else. And I tell you what we usually do is we usually find that somebody that's not doing what we're doing, and we say, look, we're better off than them. But what we need to do today is look at ourselves in light of the Word of God. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter number 4. I'll read this to you. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. And the Bible says here about the Word of God. The Bible says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The world in general is not interested in this. The world in general could care less about this. But if you want to, you can see yourself in the light of the living Word of God. And the Bible tells us what we are, and the Bible tells us how we got that way. Look, you need to know what the Bible says about life and about death. You need to know what the Bible says about you personally. Because this word speaks to every man, every woman, every child that's ever been born into this world. And it tells us what we are, and it tells us of our great need. Number one, the Bible tells us that all were born in sin and conceived in iniquity. The Bible helps us to understand that we're born sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't get beyond that. We cannot deny that. We cannot fake that, dear friends. The Bible says that we're born in sin, we're conceived in iniquity, that we're sick from the sole of our feet to the very crown of our head. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. Any preacher or any person that would tell you it's all right, just live the best you can and do the very best you can, not to worry about it, just live good, be sweet. I want you to know that person's not your friend. The truth is this. Anybody that's worth anything is going to tell you that you're a sinner, that I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. We don't like that. You know? I mean, honestly, we don't like the fact that we're sinners. We don't like somebody to point out that we're sinners. But we all need to understand that we are. And when we see ourselves in the light of the Word, that's what we see. When we compare ourselves to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize who we are. And we recognize our shortcomings. We recognize our faults and our failures. And we come to an understanding that we're sinners. Before anybody's ever going to be saved, they've got to know that they're lost. We're living in a day where there's a Christless religion in our churches. Where there's a religion where you're not taught about sin. You're not taught about sorrow. But I want you to know, sin and sorrow go hand in hand. And we're all sinners, and there's sorrow in life because of sin. But I'm glad there's a remedy, aren't you? You know, the Bible doesn't just leave us hanging there. The Bible doesn't just say, well, you're sinners, and now you've got to deal with it. The Bible says we're sinners. The Bible helps us to understand that we are sinners, and we have to forget about people that just tell us to look good and to live good and to do this and to give all your money to the church, you know? It doesn't matter. If you give all your money, then you'll be all right. I'm going to tell you, that's a lie. If you join the church, you'll be all right. That's a lie. If you'll be a good neighbor, you'll be all right. That's a lie. You're a sinner, and sin has to be dealt with. But thank God Jesus dealt with it. 2,000 years ago, on the cross of Calvary, He nailed our sins to His cross. What a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We forget about these people that say this. I tell people all the time, if you watch a lot of the preachers on the television and listen to a lot of the ones that are really, you know, heard of in America today, you have to be so very careful, because they're going to teach you things that are just not right. When a preacher can get up, or somebody, a so-called preacher can get up and say, we don't preach about hell and we don't preach about sin because we're afraid we may offend someone, there's something wrong. And has the largest church in America, there's something wrong. It's a sad day, isn't it? We have to deal with this matter of sin. We have to realize that we're sinners. The Bible says Abraham rejoiced to see his day, and when he saw it, he was glad. What do you see? Can you see yourself in the light of the Word? Can you understand that we're all sinners? Can you see, number two, if you'll look, you can see what Jesus did for you in light of Calvary. While we're sinners, I want you to know, Jesus took care of our sins. The Bible says in the book of John, the Gospel of John, back where we were in chapter number 19, if you'll turn there with me, John chapter number 19, verse number 17, the Bible says, John bearing his, Jesus talking about here, bearing his cross, went forth into the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. The Bible says where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one and Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And the title, this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. But I want you to go on. The Bible says in verse number 1, the first day of the week cometh. Mary Magdalene, when it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came to the first sepulchre, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went in to the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying, the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then came that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Now I like what the Bible goes on and says, but Mary stood in verse number 10 without the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one on the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And then listen to this. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She recognized the Lord. When we see ourselves, when we look to see what the Bible teaches us, we can see ourselves in the light of the Word, but we can also see what Christ did for us in the light of Calvary. Jesus died on the cross, a cruel death. The world is searching for a sure thing. The world's looking for something. But there's nothing so sure as what Jesus did for sinners at the cruel hands of people that nailed him to the cross and lifted him between heaven and earth. And I'm going to tell you, dear friends, Jesus died on the cross because of our sins. While people are looking for something that's sure, this is a fact that we have. First of all, it's a biblical fact. The Bible tells us that Jesus was rejected, condemned, and they crucified him on an old rugged cross. It's a historical fact because all historical records bear the fact that such an one named Jesus lived and that same Jesus was crucified. But I want you to know it's a spiritual fact today because we can look at the lives of men and women and boys and girls all down through the ages that have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can see changed lives. It's a spiritual fact today. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because there was a day that I put my faith in him, and he changed me. He made me a new creature in Christ, if you will. He put something in my life. I had everything to live with and nothing to live for, but the day I trusted Christ, I had everything to live for. What a difference the Lord makes. He gave me peace that passes understanding. He gave me joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. He gave me a promise that he would never leave me nor forsake me. He gave me a promise that he would be with me always, even until the end of the world. And I find this in the precious Word of God. When I look at myself and when I try to see, I see myself in the light of the Word that I am a sinner. But when I look at the Bible, I see what Jesus did for me in light of Calvary. I believe if any person that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ will just take the Bible and walk with Christ from that judgment hall to the place called Calvary. They would see the Lord as he suffers and dies for them. They would hear him crying from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When they would look at that sinful man on one side that deserved to be there on the cross for the sins he had committed. And this man says, would you remember me? And Jesus says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's what Jesus did for us in light of Calvary. See, we see ourselves as sinners. And so many people don't want to hear that. They don't want to see that they're sinners. They don't want to deal with their sin. But the story doesn't end with just being a sinner. The story doesn't stop that we're sinners and we're condemned to a place called hell. The story goes on, and while we're sinners, the Bible says Jesus died for our sins. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day. That's what the Bible says. Oh, we're sinners, yes. And we need to see that. And we need to hear that. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. That's a death in a place called hell. That's a death that nobody wants to ever deal with. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We see what Christ did for us in light of Calvary when we look to see. We've knocked on many doors around here. We've talked to many people. We've given out many tracts, and some of the tracts we've seen, they've thrown them down to the ground. I've talked with people, and I said, you know, from East Lyle Avenue Baptist Church, and we're out inviting folks to church, you know, and usually they're all right, but then say, more importantly, we want to know that you know that you're going to go to heaven. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? And usually I get a response like this, I'm not worried about that stuff. Or they'll slam the door. But they're going to have to deal with it someday. You're going to have to deal with it. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you're going to have to deal with this someday. But we need to see and understand that the Bible that many people are reading outside of the church is you. So we're going to have to live truthful lives. And we're going to have to help them. Well, how can I do that? Because just when you need him, he's always near. He's there to help you live the Christian life. But what happens if people don't see this? What happens if people reject this? What happens if the truth is given and people don't hear? Well, the third thing I want you to see this morning is you can see the sorrow of the neglect in light of the experience. The sorrow and neglect of the light of the experience. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews again, chapter number 2, and verse number 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There's evidence of the results of sin everywhere you turn. The writer of the Hebrews said it well. He said, you just can't escape if you neglect it. There was a generation in Noah's day that rejected the truth, wasn't there? You remember reading about that? Nobody wanted to listen. All those years that Noah preached and no one listened. And then there was a day the great flood. Rain started and God shut the door. God shut it. Noah couldn't open it. Noah couldn't close it. God shut the door. There's a lot of people that God's going to shut the door on one day because they would not listen and they neglected the great salvation that Jesus Christ provided. We need to get a burden about this. We need to get an understanding of this. There's people everywhere dying without the Lord. And we're afraid to tell them about their sinfulness. Now we don't have to go up and say, this is sin, this is... We have to help them to understand that we're all sinners. Right? I don't stand in judgment of anyone. But I have to be truthful in telling everyone that they're sinners and they need a Savior. And you say, what qualifies me to tell it? Because if you're saved, you know what it's all about. You've been there. You remember the day you passed from death to life? Do you remember the day you passed from darkness into His marvelous light? Do you remember the day that He changed you and made you a new creature in Christ? What a day that was. That's why when we were singing, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. That's why it meant something to us. That's why when she was singing, just when I need Him, Jesus is near, it meant something to her. That's why when we're singing, oh how He loves you and me, it means something to us. Because we've been changed. God has given us a brand new life. And I remember the day that I was saved, August 26, 1985. I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that day, to do that, all I did was I put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. He promised me that day everlasting life, eternal life. It became mine. He changed me. I'm telling you, I've been one of the happiest people in all the world since the day I was saved. I was happy before I was saved. I'm not going to lie to you. I enjoyed life. But when I got saved, I found out what happiness is all about. Because I found a joy in Jesus that I'd never had before. I'd tried to work my way up to it. I'd tried to do everything I could in the church. I sang in the choir. I went on visitation. I'd done it all. I played the game real well, Brother Mickey. But the day I trusted Christ, it became real to me. It became something in my life that I've never gotten over. And I found out it's just as real today as it was the day I trusted Christ. As a matter of fact, I think it's more real to me now because I found Him to be faithful. I found Him to be a friend. I found Him somebody worthy to follow. There's nobody that cares for me like Jesus. We have to see these things in the light of the world. The Bible says Abraham saw these things and he was glad. Now these Pharisees couldn't understand. Did you know Abraham? I mean, Jesus said, I want you to know something. I'm the everlasting God. Before Abraham was, I am. And the day that you can confess that in your life, that you know this eternal God, it'll change your life. When you see yourself in the light of the Word and you see what Jesus did for you in the light of Calvary, and you understand in the light of the experience, if you neglect that, the condemnation that's coming. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. I got it. But the Bible goes on and says, he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. You may think life is good, but if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to know you don't have life. You're a walking dead person. Because you're dead in trespasses and sin. You're dead in your sin. You may walk, you may breathe, you may eat, you may drink. You may enjoy the goodness of God's air. You may enjoy the glory of God's sunshine and God's rain. You may enjoy all these things, but you're dead in trespasses and sin. And the only way you can become alive is through Christ. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. How'd that happen? Trust in Christ as Savior. For those of us that are saved, we have a story to tell. You know, there's a song we sing around here that says, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His... We ought to love to tell the story of what Christ has done for us. Amen? I've preached this morning a different kind of a message. I've preached to people, not necessarily to the church as much as I normally do, but I've preached to everyone here about the responsibility we have with the gospel. And I've preached to those of you that are here that's never trusted Christ as Savior to see yourself in the light of the Word. We're all sinners. When I stand up and say that you're a sinner, I want you to know I'm a sinner too. The only difference is I put my faith in Christ and I've trusted His payment for my sins. That's the difference. We're all sinners. We're not here to judge or condemn, but if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, Jesus died just for you. And He wants you to know that heaven can be your home and eternal life can be yours today. For those of us that are saved and we rejoice in the Lord and we can say amen to all these things and we can shout hallelujah and we can do all these wonderful things, I want you to know we have a responsibility. It's not just about shouting when it's said. It's about giving the gospel and being a faithful witness. May the Lord help us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Just a moment, the pianist is going to begin playing. I'll be praying for you. Song's going to be sung, and you'll have an opportunity to respond to God's precious Word. If you're here today and you say, Preacher, I am saved. I know heaven's going to be my home. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I've done everything right. Look, we don't do this. That's why heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We'd never embarrass somebody. Never, never, never would we do that. But you just say as a testimony, Preacher, I want you to know there's a day in my life where I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my life to be my Savior. And I have peace and assurance that I'm on my way to heaven. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you quietly slip your hand up, hold them up just for a second. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And I want to give a testimony to that. God bless you. Thank you for that. Dear friends, if you're here today and you didn't raise your hand that you know that Jesus is your Savior, I hope that you've heard how Jesus loves you and how He died on the cross for your sins. How that every one of us that's in your position right now, we're sitting there, we can't say that we're saved, but every one of us has been in that same place where we've thought in our minds, as we sat in a pew or as someone has spoken to us about, I don't know if I can make this decision. I don't know if I can follow through. I don't know if I can do this. Look, it's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Are you willing to put your faith in Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary? If you're willing to do that, if you're willing to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and by faith trust Him, then today you can trust Him and be saved and know that heaven's going to be your home. It's very simple. First of all, you have to acknowledge your sins, that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that. Acknowledge that. You have to believe, number two, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The third thing you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. It's very simple. You can pray something like this while you're sitting there. You may pray this prayer. Pray after me if you've never done this and you'd like to. You say, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I believe You rose again the third day to give me victory. And right now I want to put my faith and trust in what You did for me on the cross of Calvary. I want to ask You to come into my life to be my Savior. And I pray that You'll help me to live for You from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we give this time to Thee. I pray for those that are here today that just prayed that prayer. I pray that You'll help them to make that public by letting us know that they've trusted Christ as Savior. And I pray for those of us that are saved, that while we've heard a message dealing mainly with the lost folks, Lord, that we've realized that we have a message and a story to tell. That we need to get busy giving the gospel and showing the love of Christ to others. Encouraging one another in the Lord and encouraging others to come to know Christ as Savior. I pray for our church as we follow Thee that we'd go forward and we'd see people come to Christ. We'd see Christians grow in the Lord. and we'd see thy work and thy will accomplished in this place. Help us to be obedient now in this time of invitation. For we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano begins to play, I'm going to ask you to quietly stand to your feet this morning.